You're listening to The Debrief on Katagala Media, first recorded on December 9th, 2014. This is Ali Theo with Che Ting Ye.
Student activist and Sunflower Movement leader Chen Weiting has announced on Tuesday that he will run as an independent in next year's by-elections for one of Miaoli County's legislative seats. Chen Weiting, a Miaoli native, posted the announcement on Facebook late Tuesday night in Taiwan. According to his post, he said that after being involved in various student protests in the past 5 years, even though there has been progress made, Miaoli is still controlled by the same party in power, and that the same policies will be continued. Chen said that in addition to changing existing laws, someone needs to find new solutions for Miaoli and its residents. Furthermore, Chen said that being part of the system gives the movements he supports one more leverage point for his comrades in various social movements. Miaoli is a rural county nestled between the high-tech hub of Hsinchu and Taiwan's third-largest city, Taichung. It has long been seen as a stronghold for the KMT, with the KMT's county commissioner candidate winning 47% of the votes compared to DPP's 28% this past Saturday. Recently, it has been the focus of a string of student protests, most notably the forced land expropriation in Dapu, where the sitting commissioner Liu Zhenghong ordered the demolition of a pharmacy while the owners were protesting in Taipei. Another controversial case involves Hualong textile workers, who are still fighting for wages and pensions owed to them before their owners claim bankruptcy. Chen has been prominently involved in both campaigns. Chen is also most well known as one of the two public faces for the Sunflower Movement, protesting the government's handling of a trade pact with China. He is now a graduate student in sociology at National Tsinghua University. After the announcement, the DPP has said that they had not expected Chen to, quote, unilaterally announce his candidacy. The DPP said that it was planning to seek ways to cooperate with Chen and come up with mechanisms for endorsing non-members to run in districts where the DPP has low support. Since there are others within the DPP who may want to run for the seat, some within the party are proposing the DPP to nominate its own candidate as well. In the Miaoli 2nd District, the KMT's Xu Yaochang won in 2012 with 71.65% of the vote. He is now the commissioner-elect. It is unclear whether Chen, if elected, will work with the DPP Party Caucus or the Nonpartisan Caucus or any other strategies.
After the dramatic local elections last week in Taiwan, political opinion makers from both the KMT and DPP sides are turning their attention to the issue of constitutional reform in systems of governance. Taiwan's current system of governance is outlined by the Republic of China Constitution and its amendments. The Constitution came into effect in 1947 and was meant to be used throughout mainland China and Taiwan, which was nominally ruled by the KMT-controlled Republic of China regime. In 1949, martial law suspended the constitution and gave Chiang Kai-shek extra powers as president. In 1991, after the Wild Lily student movement demanded constitutional reforms, a series of amendments eventually gave birth to the system we have today. Originally, the premier was the highest executive officer of the state, and the legislature was given oversight and power to approve the premier's appointment. However, subsequent changes through the 1990s gave the president more actual power by allowing for direct elections of the president and giving the president power to appoint the premier without legislative approval. In addition, the system to elect the legislature have also been changed, and the legislature size is reduced by about half in 2004. During the Sunflower Movement this March, one of the demands of the students occupying the legislature floor was to initiate a, quote, citizens' constitutional congress on issues of separation of powers within the government. Critics of the current system point to the lack of checks and balances between the president, the premier, and the members of parliament as a major problem. For example, neither the president nor premier have veto powers, yet the president can force legislators' hands through party mechanisms as the party chairman. Since the elections on November 29th, in which the KMT lost 9 of the 15 local commissioner posts, both KMT and DPP politicians and commentators have called on both camps to push for reforms. Former DPP legislator and longtime constitutional activist Lin Zuoshui and former New Party Pro-Unification Party legislator Yao Liming held a joint press conference urging constitutional amendments towards a parliamentary system. Several KMT legislators, as well as civic groups, have also proposed parliamentary reforms. Under this system, the premier will be held responsible to the legislature, as the legislature will have to approve the premier's appointment. Speaker of the legislature, Wang Jinping, was more reserved, saying that the process to amend the constitution will be long and difficult. Currently, 3/4 of legislatures must first pass any amendments, and then a national public referendum must ratify the amendment, with at least a 50% voter turnout.
Following the US and China's announcement a month ago to lower greenhouse gas emissions, the world now looks to India, the world's third largest emitter, for its reduction plans in this year's UN Climate Change Conference in Lima, Peru, taking place this week. Given that the Kyoto Treaty on greenhouse gas emissions expires in 2020, the two-week summit aims to draft a new global climate deal that addresses climate change after 2020. The worldwide deal is to be officially agreed in next year's summit in Paris. As opposed to the Kyoto Protocol, which asks developed countries to follow a set of mandatory reduction rules, the Lima plan will include rising economies such as China, India, Brazil, and Indonesia, and hold them to their own voluntary targets. India has been experiencing severe air pollution and adverse health impacts caused by exposure to dust particulate matter. The toxic particles, also known as PM2.5, are produced by vehicles, power plants, and waste emissions from the use of coal, gasoline, and diesel fuels. Just 2 weeks ago, the country's Environmental Pollution Prevention and Control Authority, the EPCA, asked the Supreme Court in that country to close schools on occasions when the concentration level of PM2.5 exceeds the WHO standard, which is 20 micrograms, which can be harmful to the public health. The annual average concentration of PM2.5 in New Delhi is 153 micrograms, the highest on the WHO pollution list. India's new Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, has publicly addressed such problems and pledged that the public would have access to air quality data. Last week, his administration also said that new emission standards would be announced for the nation's power plants. As China and the US, the world's first two largest polluters, both voluntarily set targets to reduce emissions over the next 15 years, India is expected to follow their footsteps in laying down a blueprint for the crisis. In the United States, the nationwide protests prompted by the controversial death of Eric Garner continue into its fifth day over the weekend, as angry protesters shut down freeways, held die-ins, and chanting the iconic slogan, "I can't breathe," during the process. Garner was allegedly choked to death by police officers in New York during what many believe is a case of racial profiling by the police. Garner was African American. Clashes between protesters and police remain common scene in several cities. About 500 people attempted to block traffic by standing in front of buses in Berkeley, California. They chanted "Fist up, fight back," and other slogans representing their frustration towards a series of controversial grand jury rulings not to indict the white police officers involved. On the same night, protesters in nearby Oakland were dispersed by tear gas and arrested after trying to block eastbound sections of a highway. Several professional athletes also show solidarity with the victims. NBA star Derrick Rose of the Chicago Bulls, Reggie Bush of the Detroit Lions, and others show their support by wearing shirts that say, "I can't breathe," Eric Garner's last words, which were captured on a video that has gone viral online. A recent poll released by USA Today and the Pew Research Center showed that 57% of Americans disagree with the New York grand jury's decision not to indict the officer. President Obama expressed his opinion about the recent protests by calling them necessary actions to bring about change. "Power concedes nothing without a fight," he says, but it's also true that a country's conscience has to be triggered by some inconvenience. This is Chaiting Ye and Alethea. You have been listening to The Debrief on the Katagala Media. Find us on our website at katagalamedia.com, that's KetagalaMedia.com, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time.